Welcome back to the program. I'm Michael Cohen with producer Desi Simmons. A Michigan State University professor bringing together more than 50 leading researchers, educators, and policymakers to Washington, D.C. this week for a conference on reforming math and science education. Dr. Charles Anderson, MSU professor of teacher education, is that man, and he joins me now from Washington, D.C. Welcome to the program, Charles.
Thank you.
We do know at this point that the U.S. is far behind most other developed countries when it comes to math and science education. Is it that our programs have declined over the past several decades, or are other countries just evolving their education systems in more creative ways than we are?
I'd say there's some of each, and perhaps the issue with other countries is not so much creativity as follow-through, that they are investing more and giving higher status to education and putting more effort into educating their kids.
The conference this week focuses on what's called learning progressions, which involves developing the competencies, not just facts. All students need to understand how the world works. What do we know at this point about that process?
Yeah, we know that learning science is a long and difficult process. In some ways, it's like learning a second language, that we're all born, as in our homes, we learn a first language, which is sort of an everyday way of talking about the world. And science is a quite different way of talking about the world. And it turns out that if we study carefully the stages that kids go through as they are trying to learn this second language of science, we can do a lot to both understand the difficulties that they have and hopefully to help them learn more effectively.
What are some of the strategies you envision that we need to take on in order to really encourage students to be more interested and more successful in the math and sciences?
So one of the first things that we're interested in is what we think of as formative assessment, that it's a lot easier to communicate with kids if you know where they're coming from. And so learning progressions can help teachers understand the places that kids are coming from and therefore talk their language and translate between their language and the language of science and ultimately help them to learn the language of science. Another kind of thing that is really important is understanding what the really main ideas and main practices are that you want kids to master and sticking with those consistently when you're teaching.
And when you talk about some of the main practices, what would some of those be?
So one thing that science does is it explains the world. And, we want kids to learn how to explain the world both in everyday terms and in scientific terms. Another kind of practice is, scientific practice is prediction, that we can predict the weather and we can predict the motions of the planets and we can predict the course of global climate change and things like that. And so kids need to understand how scientists make predictions and the kinds of uncertainties that there are in the predictions that scientists make. And so that they can appreciate what the results of their actions are likely to be. Another kind of scientific practice is inquiry or investigation, where kids need to learn how to look at evidence and develop arguments from that evidence to decide what it is that they should believe about the world or about a system that they're studying.
When you see challenges to ideas like evolution, do you feel that science in the U.S. amongst young people and adults needs to be far more important than it is today?
I certainly believe that it needs to be far more important than it is today. The challenges to evolution, I think, are often, those are people who sincerely have different standards of evidence for understanding how the world works from scientists. And in as much as that's a difference of opinion about what the world was like a million years ago, to some extent, I think we have to tolerate those kinds of differences. I think that what's really critical as we look forward is as we face issues like environmental issues and like climate change, those are not about a million years ago. Those are about our immediate future. And I think it's really important for us to agree about standards of evidence and think about how we can help students to prepare for the future that's coming.
I'm talking to Dr. Charles Anderson, MSU professor of teacher education. He's heading a conference this week on reforming math and science education in the U.S. Dr. Anderson, ultimately, isn't the study of science and math simply more difficult and requires far more concentration and discipline to study than, let's say, the liberal arts? And do American students typically have the interest to put this type of effort into excelling in these types of subjects?
I think being excellent in any subject is difficult. So I think in some ways we need to think about how we can have schools that engender the desire for excellence in our students. Oftentimes we are failing to do that today.
How about teachers themselves? Are they typically trained in a way that would allow them to teach a higher caliber curriculum when it comes to math and science?
We're certainly working on that. There's a great deal of variability in teacher education in the United States, and that variability has gotten even greater as states have moved toward alternative certification programs and other ways in which teachers can become certified as professional teachers with less preparation than used to be the case. So the question of how we can prepare teachers, I think, is an open and difficult question, and one of the questions that we'll be talking about in this conference.
And with all the bureaucratic hurdles that are involved in making even small changes in the curriculum, how do you envision a real leap forward in our math and science education taking place?
Well, one of the topics of discussion at this conference is going to be, just last week, the National Research Council came out with a new framework for national science education standards. And the hope is that there will be a set of standards developed based on this framework. And then the hope is that many states will adopt those standards, as has happened in math and literacy. And if that happens, I think that can be the kind of movement that affects policies all across the nation. So there are good things and bad things in moving towards standardization of the curriculum. But one of the good things is that it enables us to have more effect on what happens in the diversity of classrooms around the United States.
What about the reality that most people and most students really don't have any innate interest in math and science to begin with?
I don't think that's true. I think that kids are fascinated by science and scientific topics. And around about middle school, we find ways of making that seem a lot less interesting to a lot of kids. Some of that is that middle school is the time when disciplined inquiry becomes more important. But some of it is also that we teach science in rote, memorizing, uninteresting kinds of ways. And so we turn kids off.
I see. And are there examples internationally of programs that do the opposite of that? And can you give me a sense of how they avoid boring children when it comes to these types of difficult subjects?
I can't give examples that I would regard as primarily focusing on making science interesting as a kind of motivation. I think the more successful programs convince kids that science is important and that it's worthy of sustained effort to learn science. And we have not been very successful in the United States at doing that for many of our children.
Finally, when you look at a typical student who ultimately is looking to finish high school, maybe go to college, get a career in a field that earns a living at least, and may not have an interest in a career necessarily in math and sciences, what would you say to them to explain the necessity for even them to have a much better understanding of the maths and sciences?
I think we're preparing all people to be citizens of this country. And as we look forward now, we face a whole plethora of issues in which science plays an important role. The most obvious of these is global climate change and a variety of other environmental-related issues. Equally important are biomedical sorts of issues, understanding how your body works well enough to take care of yourself and other people that you're responsible for. So there are many ways in which ordinary citizens, as well as people who have specialized careers in math and science, need to understand science.
Dr. Charles Anderson, MSU Professor of Teacher Education. He's in Washington, D.C. this week hosting the Learning Progressions Footprint Conference. Thank you for joining me, Dr. Anderson.
Thank you.
And we'll be right back with more. I'm Michael Cohen. You're listening to 1320 WILS.